Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, I would not only do it, but I would probably become an expert because I would be doing it so much. How about you?
Oh, I would. It'd be fun.
That may be your only opportunity to see balls that big.
Maybe the only opportunity I want to see balls that big other than mine. But anyway.
Fox tossing. 1720. Fußbrellen. Roughly translated to fox tossing. The idea was to lay a series of tarps over large outdoor playing area. Then several foxes, along with badgers and small wildcats, would be let loose. Participants would chase them around, waiting for the moment when a hapless animal was positioned perfectly on one of the tarps. Two players would then grab the tarp at either end and quickly pull it taut, launching the animal as high into the air as possible. I would never be involved with that game. There you go, Dan. He said, I think that we just found a $1 million enterprise.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could afford insurance on that, balloon jumping. I mean, they do skydiving, right?
Right.
Now, here's something. This is straight out of James Bond. Octopus wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, would you do it?
Maybe not.
We'd have to bring Chuck Norris in to be the ref.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Gotta have Chucky.
In the 1950s and 60s, skin diving was a popular pastime. Still is today, as far as I know. It was quite competitive, with divers vying to see who could dive the deepest or stay submerged the longest. But soon enough, a new element was added to the competition. How large an octopus could be wrangled to the surface? That's kind of a jump, isn't it?
It is.
Go down, hold your breath, see how deep you can go. And then, voila, the next thing, we're wrangling octopuses.
Right.
It says, while incredibly illegal today, octopus wrestling became a popular spectator sport in the Pacific Northwest. Competitors had to find extract an octopus from its lair and wrestle it to the surface of the water. They were judged on the weight of the animal, with extra points awarded for foregoing any breathing equipment. And in 1963, over 5,000 spectators showed up at Puget Sound, Washington State, for the World Octopus Wrestling Championship.
Right.
That's something.
Right.
You know?
Before you read number one.
Yeah.
I want to read my last story, because this might fit right into where we're at.
Well, hey, I'm all for that. Let's go. Let's hear it.
You know how we fit into everything on this show.
Absolutely.
All right. Coming this summer, the new James Bond classic, Dumbo Pussy.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Mm.
We went there. Waiting for it to load. All hail Emperor Dumbo, the newest species of deep-dwelling octopus.
Ooh.
This is the first time a new octopus has been described using completely non-invasive imaging. A new species of Dumbo octopus equipped with telltale fins on head has been dredged from the deep, nicknamed the Emperor Dumbo. The adorable creature was discovered in 16. Alexander Ziegler of Frederick Wilhelm University of Bonn, Germany, was aboard the German survey ship RV Sony.
Is that 2016?
Yes, 2016. I apologize. I like to abbreviate.
Hey, you know, okay, I'm sorry. I got to stop you there for a second just because, tell me this. You grew up as a boy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just American boys.
Right.
You know, American culture. We've grown into men, and we still like to act like boys, right?
Right.
But do you remember the first time you heard 007 Octopussy?
I know, right?
Every guy out there right now is listening to that, and they're getting a smile on their face right now, because when they heard that movie name,
right,
it was almost like saying a swear word.
I know, right?
Yeah, like you're walking by your friend, and you're like,
I know.
Octopussy.
Remember Gold Member?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gold Member. What do you mean?
Remember it to you?
Everybody on here knows what we're talking about. But to this day, that show is one of those that us guys, we still giggle
when
we say that word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The name of a movie makes us giggle as grown men. You know, there's just something with that.
It is funny.
Octopussy. All
right, my God. All right. It was from the University of Bonn, Germany. It was aboard the German survey ship R.V. Sony as the resident biologist with a strange creature. Oh, crap. That's stupid ads.
Danger.
Danger. Well, we're in danger. We moved the ads.
So what's the point of the story?
The point of the story is Dumbo Pussy.
Dumbo Pussy. Okay, well, I've never heard of that one.
But that's what this is.
I'm sure. Yeah, I can see it, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing. When you're a sailor and you hear about some of the stories, you know, right. about octopus and, you know, I don't want to wrestle them. I don't care if they're dumb. I don't care if they're right. smart. You know what I mean? Tentacles that can rip your arms off. Am I seeing this right?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Something about
it. Are you being politically incorrect?
Well, this just comes natural to me.
I know.
You know?
Me too.
All right. So what do you think number one is?
Number one. Oh, boy. Auto polo.
Auto polo. Yeah. You can't see anything wrong with that, can you?
No.
Nobody get hurt doing that.
No.
In 1912, a Kansas Ford dealer held what he hoped would be the first of many sporting matches with an eye toward generating business. It was held between the two inaugural teams, the Grey Ghosts and the Red Devils, of America's newest sport, auto polo. It was played pretty much exactly as one might expect, like traditional polo, but with cars instead of horses. As cars were initially marketed as a replacement for horses, this makes a strange sort of sense. In the first match held in Kansas Alfalfa Field, two teams of three men competed, two men to drive the car and one to swing a giant mallet at a basketball-sized rubber ball, despite, or perhaps because of, the likelihood of crashes, injuries, and deaths. The sport skyrocketed in popularity for the next several decades, with the last matches taking place in the mid-50s. Think about that. 40 years. Almost half a century auto polo. What have you played?
I would have played that back in the day.
Yeah. Would have you?
Yeah.
What would have you driven? Probably a Ford.
Model T.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have driven a Buick?
Well, probably.
Yeah, you would have been a Buick guy. Yeah. And Team Buick, headed by Red Dan Baker.
That's right.
You know, come on. Yeah. But we know that you're a Reds fan, so you probably would have had a cork mallet.
Hey, I would only used it during practice.
Right. You know, hey. But anyways, yeah, that's 10 strange former things. I'm telling you, I still think that the balloon jumping would have been my favorite.
Oh, out of all of them.
Yeah, right.
That'd have been the most fun.
Yeah. So I want to get your feeling on this. A rare calico lobster was rescued from Red Lobster. It's now headed to a Virginia exhibit. Wow. True or false?
I'm going to say that one's true.
You're going to go true on it.
What do you all say?
Well, do you want me to read a little bit into it and you can tell me if you really think that it's true?
Try.
Freckless is a rare catch. The odds of seeing a calico-colored lobster like it, with its head, tail, and claws dotted with dark blue and bright orange spots, is about 1 in 30 million. Mm. And the crustacean almost became dinner at Red Lobster. But instead of being butter poached and served alongside cheddar biscuits, the calico lobster is headed to an exhibit in Virginia. Employees at a Red Lobster in Manassas, Virginia, discovered the creature on April 25th as part of a shipment from Maine. Recognizing the unique animal, the Virginia restaurant contacted the company. Red Lobster then contacted a zoo that had rescued different rare lobster from one of its restaurants last summer. So you're still going true or false?
I'm going true still on that.
All right. Kim Libby's got true. You got true.
I want to see the picture again, too.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah, I'm going to say true.
You're going to say true?
That's a jaguar.
Even with the lobster,
right?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why do they got three blue rubber bands on this side and only one white one on this side? Mm. Are they trying to be politically correct with the color bands on the lobster?
Rainbow collar.
Is that what it is? Okay, well, I'm just kind of wondering. So, we got... Shawnee's false. Matt Finn's true. So, you know, I could say, but I'd have to smack myself because I know the answer.
Right.
So, let's see. I think that's one of the ugliest lobsters I've ever seen, and I don't know if I would want to eat it, okay?
Right.
Then we have Relief Monster. You tell me, is this story true or is it not? Relief. I'm going to show you. Monster Hunter Rise includes a dossier of each monster's problematic behavior so you don't feel bad when you kill them.
False.
Oh, this is a video game. So they're like reaching out to the soy boy and saying, you really don't have to feel bad about killing the monster. Here's the real issues with all of them.
Yeah.
Almost de-hunterizing the monsters. You know what I'm saying?
You could have your Dumbo pussy with some soy sauce. And some soy.
Well, you know, de-monstering, dehumanization, same thing. Yeah, they're saying, you know, false. What are you're saying false?
I'm going false on that one.
Okay. For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Okay. Check this out. Tree hugger, sustainability for all. Bioluminescent mushrooms. They had a whole story on bioluminescent mushrooms. According to the story, you can buy a log with these growing on it and light up your house because they glow in the dark.
Oh, make a nice Christmas ornament.
Are you going true or false?
I'm going false.
You're going false?
Yeah.
You're going false?
I'm going false.
All right. We got false, false, true. Kim Libby's got true. Okay.
You went from false to true.
Well, no, that was the old story. Okay. Hello, Carolyn. Okay. Yeah, so... the calico lobster story, number one, is absolutely 110% true.
I knew it.
So almost everybody got it right. Even you got it right. I kind of pulled a weird one today, okay? So, yes, there are rare calico lobsters, 1 in 30 million. Red Lobster did a good job in saving the oddity here. They did it.
I still say they got the wrong name on it. Though. Should be called a jaguar lobster.
Relief Monster Hunter Rise is also 110% true. The game makers wanted people to not feel bad about killing things.
Right.
So they literally put this book together of all the reasons that you should kill the monster.
Right.
So we got true, and then we got true. And then we've got the glow-in-the-dark mushrooms.
Which I said false.
Which is also true.
Oh, that's the only one I
okay, I didn't know this, folks. I didn't know this, but check this out. There's over 100 types of glow-in-the-dark mushrooms. Mm. Check that out. That's a Pinellas styptiacus. Can you say that fast? Pinellas styptiacus?
Califlagellatus.
Yeah. then there's Pinellas bacillus.
Penicillus.
Yeah. Armillaria malaya. Armillaria gallica. And some of these are like real. Okay, check that out. Check that out on the screen. That's real, folks. That is real. I want to get some.
There's nothing on the screen. Oh.
Is it Monday today? I mean...
Monday, no, Monday, Monday's done past.
All right, what do you think of that? Okay, those are real, folks. Those are real. There's it in the daytime. Mm. Just evening, and there's that night.
I still can't believe that's true. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome.
Awesome Christmas ornaments.
Like, well, you know what I'm thinking?
On your tree? What do you got on your... What do you got shrooms on your tree for?
I'm going to talk to the people. You know, the people?
Right.
About the costclub.com.
Right.
And I'm going to ask him at thecostclub.com under Morning Crankers. I'm going to ask him, I want some bioluminescent
That would
mushrooms.
Make some good decoration on a cannabis tree for Christmas, wouldn't it?
Well, not only a cannabis tree, but imagine this. Imagine you have a turtle or a lizard or something like that, and you want something cool for the fish tank,
right?